And this is Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in this morning on a Wednesday to take a look at what's been happening at the CME Group in Chicago, Illinois. A couple of notes before that. Just after the top of the hour this morning, about 10 to 11 minutes away now, we'll power down from 5,000 watts here at the radio station to just 100 watts. 5,000 watts covers an area of about 136 counties across Illinois and Indiana, stretching from nearly Louisville, Kentucky, in the south to almost up to Madison, Wisconsin in the north. Really, it's much smaller than that, but on the skip, you can hear us a long, long ways away. When we go down to 100 watts to deal with some maintenance and tower work and the lights on our towers, which are in the south part of Champaign, Illinois, near Savoy on the south farms of the University of Illinois, and we'll power down to 100 watts and only get maybe through the county a bit wider than Champaign. So if you're listening, you can tune to us if you'd like, and you'd like to continue hearing the programming. We'll be back up to full power sometime later today, probably before the closing mark report, the 2 o'clock hour central time, but you can always listen to us at will.illinois.edu there online. For the ag listeners, that's willag.org, willag.org. And we always post all of our agricultural programming to the website within about 15 to 20 minutes of it airing on the radio station. So no need to miss anything. You can always pick it up at willag.org. Now let's take a quick look at what the numbers are trading like in Chicago at this hour. Futures for the corn are down about 2 cents. Beans are up about 2 cents. Wheat future just narrowly unchanged at this hour. The feeder cattle are up $2.30. The live cattle up $1.30, and the lean hogs at this hour are down 17.5 cents.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's check in with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City and left this update of the growing region's weather forecast for us.
Today's forecast continues to suggest that the majority of the Midwest will see a very good balance of rain and sunshine, along with seasonable temperatures over this next full week to 10 days. In fact, it could be longer than that. Today's forecast does not offer a tremendous amount of ridginess. In other words, there's not going to be any prolonged period of hot, dry weather, at least not in this near-term forecast. We would expect to see a generally favorable environment where we've got favorable soil moisture along with some timely rainfall. And again, daily temperatures that are going to be in the 80s, and that's just about ideal for corn development, and soybeans will eat it up relatively well. Also, we expect to see some shower and thunderstorm activity working its way through the Midwest periodically. It will not be completely dry in any area, but we may see a few pockets that could dry down over time. The majority of the precipitation that's advertised is expected to be not necessarily heavy, but there will be some localized heavy rainfall embedded in lighter areas of rainfall. The first wave of precipitation will be in the western corn belt as we move into the night tomorrow night and into the day on Friday. We'll see some showers before then, but this will be the first more organized precipitation, and the early indications suggest there may be some strong thunderstorms that come from northeastern Kansas into parts of southeastern Minnesota and western sections of Wisconsin. There will be potentially some 1 to 2 and locally greater amounts of rainfall in that band. And rainfall elsewhere on either side of it will probably run more 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch and something up around an inch. That frontal boundary will likely lose a little bit of definition as it tries to move further to the east, so the eastern Midwest may not see nearly as much rain as some of those areas I just mentioned. A few hundredths of an inch up to 5/10 of an inch with some 3/4 inch amounts may occur, and that will take us on into the weekend as we do see some scattered showers and thunderstorms. It looks as though another band of heavier rainfall may evolve across the northwestern parts of the Corn Belt as we get into the Sunday-Monday time period, and that new frontal boundary will work its way to the east and south as we go through the first part of next week with another good chance for rain in quite a few locations. The precipitation will probably hold together a little bit better this time, but is still showing a little bit of a weakening trend as it moves further to the southeast. That may lead to a little bit more of a drier bias in some of the areas in the lower parts of the eastern Midwest. We'll continue to watch that rather closely. It will won't be dramatically dry, but there may be at least a net loss in soil moisture as we move forward through the coming week. The temperature bias is expected to work its way through the 80s on a near daily basis across most of the Midwest. There may be a few readings over 90 degrees that will occur in southern parts of the region, and we'll look for some upper 70s to occur periodically across the north. But overall, the temperature bias is going to be relatively seasonable for this time of the year, and we're certainly expecting the crops to benefit from it. And it looks like our low temperatures at night will be fairly warm, a lot of 60s expected. There will be some lower 70s periodically as well. We don't look at the weather pattern right now across the Midwest as being very threatening at all, but I do believe that we'll have to watch for those drying pockets that may occur and make sure that it does rain in a timely fashion a little bit later in the month of July as we get closer to reproduction. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our thanks to Drew Lerner for, of course, bringing us a weather forecast and an update each and every business day of the year. Let's check the numbers as they're actually trading in Chicago. On the last tick, the hard red winter wheat at 707 and a quarter was up 3 3/4 in the July contract. The July soft red at 572 was up a penny. July corn at 441, down 2 cents. December at 439, a penny and 3/4 lower. In July of next year at 463.5, down 1 3/4. July soybeans for the day at $14.12 3/4. Last tick down 3/4. November up 2 cents at $12.26.5. And July of next year at $12.47, 3 3/4 of a cent higher. Bean meal at $4.50.30, up $1.90. Bean oil at $40.63, down 34 cents. The August live cattle at $151.52.5, up $1.80. The August feeders at $213 even, $2.37.5 higher. And lean hogs at $130.50, up 7.5 cents. On the phone line with us today to take a look at these numbers is Bill Gentry. He's at Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning to you, Bill.
Good morning, Todd. Glad to be with you again.
Yes, I know. Yesterday, I didn't realize that until after I just got off the air. I thought, well, it's not Wednesday, it's Tuesday. But, hey, what the heck, we did okay. Today is Wednesday. I'm wanting to look forward with you today to next Monday's reports, acreage and grain stocks in particular. Is there any reason to believe that USDA will find more demand or usage has been drawing down the corn stocks at this point? And I'm thinking of two things in particular. PED, maybe heavier weights and more hogs than they expected. We'll have a quarterly hogs and pigs report sure, later this week. And also the EIA numbers. And I'm wondering that that could really show something unique, I think, in the grain stocks report and what's left on hand. Of course, they survey a whole bunch of places to find out what's there.
Sure. Taking the questions in order, I think the PED situation is one that when you take hogs to heavier weights, it takes more feed to make that happen. And I do think we've increased our weight significantly. On the same order, we've probably decreased our slaughter numbers and probably will continue to do so for a period of time, probably through August and maybe into September. So, yeah, our feed consumption may be on the rise. The USDA has been reluctant to really push that number. We thought that in our January-February number, we probably saw the biggest feed consumption number that we were going to see and probably would lean in that direction going forward. So I don't think we're going to find an increased feed consumption number just yet. As far as the EIA numbers and watching the ethanol production, we think that for the most part, between now and the end of the year, the ethanol production is going to basically be going full throttle. So going forward, the chances of seeing increased numbers of domestic consumption because of ethanol production is probably not overly likely. We also are going to see some periods where some of these plants are going to shut down for annual maintenance and retooling. So I'd say that that's probably going to be a hiccup here and there. So as far as looking for a surprisingly small quarterly grain stocks number coming in next week, I probably would not lean in that direction. I really think that that 3.6, 3.7 billion number is probably a fair one to look at. And when you look at the range of expectations, it's really, really wide. So surprising the trade is going to be difficult.
And then, of course, we have the acreage numbers. What are you thinking there?
The acreage numbers, I'm going to stick with what we saw in the March because I think we've seen variable numbers in the north. I think that the corn-on-corn acreage to the south, considering the 40-cent increase in price from the time the survey was taken and when it was re- released. I think that that's probably going to get some more corn on corn ground, but we also saw some prevent plant up north, so I call it a wash.
Okay, so does this mean you're at this point neutral or bearish the marketplace for corn?
I would say neutral. I think we've taken a lot of premium out of the market. We have not got it. Well, we're a long way from putting it in the bin, so I think we've got some weather situations to contend with yet. I think the market is fairly valued right now. I wouldn't want to press the short side, but I would sell value on bounces.
Coming up on the top of the hour, just a minute left. One final note, anything you wanted to make sure you talked about this morning?
Not really. I like the way the wheat harvest is coming along. I think there's some vomitoxin concerns, so the guys need to be mindful of that. I think as far as crop insurance is concerned, make sure people are aware that if you've got any issues, you need to contact your crop insurance agent and have a sample taken before you harvest it, because once you've taken it out of the field, it's too late.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Bill Gentry. He's at Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. One note on the Vomitox, and the plant pathologist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus suggests, and you're not going to like this, but that you turn the fan speed up and you try to blow those lightweight wheat kernels out the back end so you don't get docked when you go to the elevator with that load. Might think about that one a little bit. You can check out what Carl Bradley has to say. On the Bulletin website, just search the Bulletin and University of Illinois. It is coming up on the top of the hour, 1 minute after the hour of 9 o'clock Central Time. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbanum. We're going to power down for a few hours, back up shortly. Always find us online and listen there at will.illinois.edu.